Hey there, and welcome to episode 13 of the WP HackerCast. My regular listeners will have noticed that I've missed two possible podcast dates now. I usually put out a podcast every 2 weeks, but unfortunately I was dealing with some health issues and then school holidays, which always makes life interesting. This episode is a slight change of tack. Recently, I had a conversation with Travis Liebmer, one of the guests on my previous podcast, and he indicated that while an hour-long podcast is not a bad idea, sometimes it's also worthwhile to have a shorter podcast of about half an hour each. And this got me thinking into what else I want to talk about, what else I want to think about, and where else I want to go with the podcast. So this episode is the first of a series that I hope to continue. I will only be having one guest, and that guest will be Craig Hewitt. I've had him on the podcast before. He's the owner of Seriously Simple Podcasting and Castos. He is also a successful single founder. He has started one business and bought and is growing two other businesses. And I thought it might be interesting to get his insights on what it takes to start a business, to buy a business, to grow a business, from the perspective of someone like me, a developer who currently works with clients but wants to see if he can start his own recurring income business or find his own sort of way in the maker slash founder world. So I hope you enjoy the first episode. Going forward, I'll probably be alternating every 2 weeks between the regular interview format and this new maker slash builder format. So if you do enjoy this episode, please feel free to leave a comment after the episode on the website or wherever you are streaming this from. Let me know what you think. But I hope you enjoy this first chat, very relaxed chat, with Craig Hewitt about what it takes to market your product. I guess before we get started into this, we've already done this before on the WP HackerCast, but maybe just give us your quick little, you know, hi, I'm...
Sure,
I'm
yeah, yeah.
Craig, this is who I am, and all that kind of thing, and then we'll take it from there.
Sure, yeah, yeah. So I am Craig. I have a problem. No, so...
Hi, yep, so, Craig.
Yeah, yeah. So so my name's Craig Hewitt. Jonathan and I know each other from working together on Castos and Seriously Simple Podcasting. And we've been doing so for about a year and a half. I can't believe it. And through that, yeah, we've come a long way. I was actually thinking about this earlier today with how I think the organization and both of us individually have come with respect to how we work on technology and in a business and building a business. And at this point we've come a long way. I don't like sharing a ton of particulars, but the business is successful at this point. It pays, you know, part of your salary. It pays me something. It pays two other people something, three other people something every month. And so, yeah, I mean, at this point, the business definitely has product market fit, which is kind of a term in the product world for you have a thing and people need it and they're willing to pay you money for it. And this is a bit elusive. Like a lot of people build a thing or, like you said, come up with an idea, which is probably the worst thing ever, right? I mean, a lot of us have ideas, but the problem with ideas, I think, is you should think about it the other way. You should think about, like, this is a problem and the solution is this, right? An idea is just dangerous because it's like Instagram or whatever. And there have been 1,000 of those that have failed for every one that succeeds. But especially, I think, in the B2B market, if you can look at it and say, this is a problem that a lot of people have. And you and I have talked specifically about a couple of problems where you say, this is a problem. Everybody has it. It's a pain in the neck. And I think I can solve it. That's when you have kind of magic. And I think that's what we've done with Castos a little bit, is say podcasting is inherently complicated. Managing your podcast in multiple places, like a lot of people do with like SoundCloud or Libsyn and their WordPress site, is even harder. So what if we built a media hosting platform that's directly integrated into somebody's WordPress site, so they only have to manage their stuff in one place? And so we kind of said, this was the problem, and here's the solution. But I think the magic of Castos has been, we had an audience already.
Right.
And if I would do that again, because to back up a little bit, so I purchased the Seriously Simple Podcasting plugin from your friend Hugh, and it had a bunch of free users. And I think that I think that that kind of validated a couple of things. One, there was a problem of a good solution for managing your podcast in WordPress, but it didn't have the complete kind of solution of the hosting arm. It just had a good amount of functionality around, like, how can you manage easily your podcast in WordPress? We added to it the media hosting arm, and that kind of rounded out the solution and made kind of a paid option for it. So anyways, that was a lot longer introduction than you wanted. But I think when you, and a lot of people, not just technical people, because I'm the same way, I'm thinking, I need to come up with another business, or I want to go do another thing. What if I do this? Mm. Whereas, and it's really, really hard, and I have a hard time with it. Instead of saying, what if I do this, say, what problems do I know about, or have I experienced personally, or kind of like in my world that we can take a closer look at and see how we can solve them.
The interesting thing that you say about that is that I think I am the kind of person who, and I have done this in the past, who sees a problem and builds the solution. And I kind of want to talk about that in a second, but what I find the most difficult is, or at least one of the many things that I find the most difficult, or have found the most difficult up until this point, is how to properly monetize and support that solution. And I'll give you the example. When I first got into the world of WordPress, I was using a theme called Divi. And in the course of using Divi, I got involved in a Divi Facebook group. And in the course of being involved in the Facebook group, I saw some, and my client work, I saw some problems that people were having, and I built solutions for those problems, and then I just threw those solutions out there. So there's a few plugins that I sell for Divi through this third-party marketplace. And the first month was amazing because I sold $1,000 worth of plugins in the first month, and that was like cha-ching, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, if this carries on, happy days. And then the second month it was 800, and then the third month it was 500, and then I realized that the reason it was doing that is because I was doing zero marketing. Mm. I was putting no effort into getting that product out there, and the reason that I was putting no effort into it is because I believe, at least, I hadn't monetized it correctly. I hadn't given it the right price, so that when support queries came in, I would have the time to fix those issues, and that time would be paid for. So I was doing a lot of client work, and that was my focus, and I was kind of letting the plugins fall by the wayside.
Hmm.
So,
you were charging for client work to customize the plugins?
Because the first month it was a big paycheck, and that was great.
Yeah.
And the second month it was a bit less, so I had to spend more time on client work to earn a bit more.
And then slowly,
as the plugin sales dropped, the client work had to increase to counterbalance.
Yeah, sure. Huge problem.
And it's difficult because you don't know what price to give something. You know, if you don't have a base, you don't know what to expect. And there's these various things. And I think that I actually don't want to get into questions yet, because the purpose of this podcast, for me at least, is to go back to before I built that thing and put some better knowledge and maybe planning in place, or at least some concepts, so that when I do either launch the next thing that I might build or look at the current things that I have, what can I either implement or change or whatever to improve that process. So what I'd like to ask you first, actually, is, do you think, in your experience, your own experience and your experiences having spent the however many last years chatting to Dave and his businesses, do you think that people with a sales background have a better footing when you're going to become a founder than people with a technical background?
No, I think it's just different.
Okay.
I think it's just different because you have to learn the other side of the coin regardless, right? So mm-hmm. you as a technical person have to learn sales and marketing. Mm-hmm. Me as a person with sales skills have to learn marketing, which is not the same thing as sales.
Okay.
And how to communicate and organize a development team or learn how to code, which is for me, it just doesn't click. So it's just not me. So I think you have to learn the other one either way. And I don't know which is easier. I think they're probably the same. But you at least need to learn how to kind of appreciate and interact with the other side of things. But yeah, so that's what I would say to that.
Okay.
I don't think one person is better or worse coming from the one aspect. The yeah.
Okay. So then my next question onto that is and this might just be my lack of understanding or my sort of closed-mindedness, but when we first met and I started following Rogue Startups podcast and I started following your blog, I read an article that you posted about how you'd spent some time learning, I think it was Ruby on Rails, because you wanted to get a better understanding of this thing called development, and you went off and you built a project. And that makes total sense to me. It's very easy to learn a language, and the easiest way to learn a language is to build something with it.
Yeah.
How do you learn the language of marketing, and what do you build to learn the language of marketing?
Yeah, so that's a great point. So, do you follow Startups for the Rest of Us podcast?
I will now.
Yeah, no, it's so those are the guys that put on the MicroConf conference, like this big conference for folks like us. And one of the two guys there, so that's Rob and Mike, are the two hosts.
Okay.
Rob has this thing called the stair step approach. And his idea is start with something small and simple, like your plugins. Mm-hmm. And he advocates like WordPress plugins or something like that you can sell in a single channel. Maybe it's a one-time sale, because SaaS and recurring is just more difficult. It doesn't have like a bunch of integrations and all this kind of stuff. Technically, it's pretty simple, and you might make $1,000 a month from it or something like that. And then you go do it again and do it again. And then you build like a simple SaaS, that you can make a couple $1,000s a month from after you've gotten the skills of either, if you're a marketer, building the technical product, or if you're a technical person, figuring out how to market a simple product, like an ebook or a course or a WordPress plugin or something like that.
Okay.
And then as you get those kind of chops at a basic thing, you go up and up and up and up in terms of like complexity and amount of involvement, stuff like that. Okay. And so I think it applies, right? So for me, it was, I learned a little bit of Laravel and a little bit of Rails. I built some very basic things. And now I definitely understand everything that we do with our projects. And they're much more complex. But if I hadn't have done that, I would be a terrible person to manage a development team.
Right.
Similarly, I think, honestly, you probably missed, and I don't know what the status of those plugins is, but you probably missed a fair opportunity. If you had something that was making $1,000 a month, I would have devoted as much time as I could to that thing and just say, okay, how can I just get more people with their eyes on this? And how, and then just, you know, can I start writing blog, or can I start a podcast, or do a YouTube channel, or offer a like free thing or something? Like the open source community is very, I'm still learning about the open source community. It's really dynamic, right? So like, you can get a lot of eyeballs on things with open source, but it makes monetizing it maybe a little more difficult. So it's definitely a tough bear, but you're in a world already that has people interested in a thing, a problem and a thing that you're selling. And so I think it's fantastic, because that's what you look for. I mean, with my new project with Sales Camp, we don't have that marketing channel. And honestly, we're struggling to find out how to get customers, because like with Castos, almost all of our customers come through WordPress still. And so like buying that acquisition channel was the best investment ever, you know, because it's a fantastic, it's almost a zero cost acquisition channel. Our cost is supporting those free customers, right? So we have a little bit of development cost and a little bit of ongoing kind of support cost for free customers. But you have that and had that with your Divi plugins. So the question is, how do you either add more functionality to solve a bigger problem or a more common problem, or that people would be willing to pay more for, or how do you market that either within the marketplace or I don't know how Divi stuff is sold, but just more eyeballs, I think is kind of like, once you figure out a place where it can be sold, just do more of it.
Okay. Okay. So then
I don't know, is it of interest to you to continue that, or are you looking to do something totally different?
No, well, that's actually the thing, is that, so there's a little bit of background to all of that, and it might be worth discussing. I kind of fell into the whole Divi thing. It wasn't the plan. But I got involved. There's a Divi theme users group on Facebook. It's the biggest user group on Facebook for Divi. And I contacted one of the admins because I wanted to share a piece of content. And they had fairly strict rules around what could and couldn't be shared. And there was actually a, the group was started by two or three people. And then there was a bit of a fallout between some of those people. And then half of them left and started their own group. And there was quite a bit of nastiness and all that kind of thing. And I happened to join the second group first. And I saw a bunch of people making snarky comments irregularly about the first group. And I went, that's interesting. What's that about? And I went and joined the first group. And I can't remember what the reason was, but I contacted the admin and I said to him, I'd like to share some piece of content. And is this within your rules? And he said, well, how about if you shared it on our website? Because they have a website where they sell these third-party plugins. And in doing so, I got chatting to the admin and I ended up working for their service, which is known as a Divi fixer, where I was helping people who are not technical to fix technical problems in Divi. And then one day a client asked me for a specific module for Divi. It's like a block in Gutenberg that did a certain piece of functionality. And I built it for them. And then I said to them, do you mind if I sell this to other people? And they went, sure.
Yeah.
And I did that. And then that plugin started generating some income. And I thought, hey, there's a business model here. Let me see what other problems I can solve.
Yeah.
Now the problem, this is where it gets tricky. So my biggest selling plugin, the one that, there was a few at the time, but the one that made me hit that $1,000, if you will, in the first month, is a plugin that exists because there was another plugin developed by one of the members of the other group. And they don't talk to each other. There's quite a bit of animosity there. That did a certain thing. And I was never going, I saw that this plugin existed and I had somebody ask me for the same functionality for their website. And I actually directed them to this other plugin because this plugin existed, because I didn't want to compete with an existing product. And then I happened to work on a client's site that had this product installed. And it's like, you know, opening Pandora's box. I thought, let me see what this thing does. And I looked at it and I saw some issues. And I went, I can do this better. Mm-hmm. And now I want to do this better because I believe my plugin will be better and will sell well. So I went ahead and did that. And as I say, first month, $1,000. But then I rested on my laurels.
Yeah.
I assumed it would keep happening.
And why do you think it didn't?
Because I didn't do any kind of marketing. I didn't promote myself, the plugin, or anything. I relied on the internal marketing that the marketplace is called Elegant Marketplace, and the owners of Elegant Marketplace are the admins of the Divi Theme Users Group. And I relied on purely their process of marketing. I did none of my own. And I was a complete noob in the areas of marketing. So I'm at the stage now where I've got 4 or 5 plugins with them and a few child themes. And I earn about $300 a month. And my brain is, my logical brain is telling me, if you just spent some time, as you say, getting more eyes on, getting more people to buy, increasing the price might not be necessary. Because the other interesting thing is that we're priced exactly $1 below the competition. So it's $1 cheaper, which is not necessarily ideal, but it's $1 cheaper to get people to buy it. And I believe the functionality is better. So I guess what I'm trying to get at is that if it's possible for me to learn how to market better, then maybe that's what I should be doing. Just to see what happens.
It certainly is the easiest thing, right? You have the product already, it's selling some. So just to pour some marketing effort into it to see if it makes a difference would be like the easiest thing. That's what I would do. That's what I would do. But I have to say, with the caveat of every month you start over, right? Every month you have zero sales that you're expecting. Yes. Whereas something with recurring revenue, a SaaS or a membership site or whatever, every month, I mean, we should make the same amount of money at Castos as we made the same amount of month or more, right? So assuming a whole bunch of things, but I think since you already have this thing built and it's selling and it's in a place where you can acquire customers, that it is at least for the exercise of learning some marketing stuff and getting some marketing experience, that's by far the easiest thing to do. Mm. Yeah. I mean, if I had a thing that was selling a few hundred dollars a month, that's what I would do. Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, and how you market there, it's a little tough because you probably don't control a lot of like the aspects of the marketplace and your listing. It's probably a lot like WordPress. Like we can't affect a lot of what we do in WordPress other than like what our listing looks like and keywords and SEO and, you know, how once you're in the plugin, how like the upsell is and stuff like that. So we can't affect a lot of that. Right. But I would say just getting more eyeballs on it. So I don't know. Do you have like a website for your plugins or anything like that, or that you could send people to learn more about them before they would go purchase, or no?
So a website does. This is exactly why I wanted to have this podcast, because when you ask these questions, you're shaming me. A website does exist, but it's pitiful. And there is some information about the plugins there, but they're just as pitiful. And in you asking me these questions, you're sort of answering the questions that I need to have answered.
Yeah.
So probably what I need to do is what I'm going to do. Somebody once said to me, you should never say what I need to do. You should say what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do is I'm going to sort that out. So let's put it this way.
And here's the reason why you want a marketing site for your products is so when you're in that Facebook group or you're on social media or at WordCamp or whatever, people say, oh, I use Divi, but I have this problem. And you're like, hey, I have a couple of products around that. Go to whatever, DiviFixit.com or whatever, and check it out.
So here's the thing. So I know that if I start on Monday making some changes, we're not going to see immediate results. And I respect that.
Yeah.
I also know that I plan to have this conversation with you roughly every 2 weeks. So let's kind of end it off like this. If there was one thing that you think that I should do on Monday or next week, at least, that we could look at in a month's time. So after this, not the next podcast, but the podcast after that, and look at whether that has affected my sales or a group of things, what would you recommend would be the first sort of steps that I should be taking? Because then I can at least have a plan of action for the next, say, month.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would do two things. One is I would get the website to the point where you'd be excited about sending people there.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be perfect, but it could just be a page with, you know, four different cards on it, one for each of your modules, and then a page for each of those saying what it does, and link it over to the Envato Mark or whatever, the Elegant Themes Marketplace. Just like a landing page, you know,
contact
information, whatever. Because ultimately you want that to be the place people go, because it might be that you sell those plugins on your own down the road, right? I don't know if Elegant Themes has like an exclusivity thing. They probably do, but
they do. Yes.
Down the road, you might build whatever, your own theme, right? And you could sell it on your own. So I would say have a place that you own entirely that you can send people to, because knowledge base and things like that all should live on that site.
Okay.
The other thing I would do, especially in the WordPress space, since you're already in the WordPress space and in Divi, is just start talking to a bunch of people.
Okay.
And this is stupid, right? But I mean, this is what I'm doing and what I've done for all my businesses is just start talking to the people you know, because you know a lot of people in WordPress, right? And Divi. So just talk to people. Say, hey, and it doesn't have to be a sales thing, but just like, hey, kind of like this. I have this product, kind of wondering where it fits in best with the world and the community and people's needs and things like that. Have you ever run into this problem? Do you know anybody that might be able, I might be able to talk to understand better kind of why they have this problem and if the solution is a good fit. And it will come out of your mouth in a way that's not salesy, I'm sure, because you'll kind of pose the question like it would come out of your, you know, like from your perspective, and people would expect it. But just talking to people and getting the word out in a very unassuming, not salesy, exploratory way is fantastic. Because then, I mean, a bunch of people know you, a bunch of people respect you and know you in WordPress and in Divi. And if you start talking more about your thing, they're going to go check it out. And I would suspect you'd see a big difference just from that.
Okay. Super, super interesting. That's cool. Awesome. I think that's a good place to wrap that up. And that's kind of the point of this podcast is I'm literally going to be asking, you to give me homework and then I'm going to go off and do it.
It's intimidating. We should record another one right after this with me doing some development work. See how terrible it is.
I'm sure we could manage it. I'm gonna say thank you for your time. It's always great to chat to you. And anything you want to say before we kind of wrap this up?
No, it's fun. No, I appreciate it, and love to see kind of how things go going forward.
Awesome. Well, I'll bring this up again in two podcast time, and we'll see how it went.
Okay, sounds good.
Cool.
All right, bye.